Day and this opportunity we have, Lord, just to be in your house and God to worship these altars this morning. We thank you for the singing today. We thank you, God, for songs that have been sung by our choir and our special singers today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in the spirit in which they're sung in, Lord Jesus, and how they have so much meaning. And Lord, how we need to understand your greatness and understand and in all of your greatness, God, we can still come unto you, Lord. You tell us to go boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in a time of need. And so, Father, as these are at the throne of grace, finding help that they need in this time, Father, we pray, God, that you would help each and every one of them, Lord. It prays already in this altar, God. This service is yours, Lord, and we want to do everything that is pleasing unto you, Father. We bless you, Lord Jesus, today. And Father, we ask you now, God, just to help us, Lord, to worship you as we should. And we pray these in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here today. We didn't have an opportunity to come around and shake your hands because we're battling a little head cold. And so we didn't want to spread it all around to you, so we didn't come around to shake your hand. But so for you who are mad that the preacher didn't shake my hand this morning, now you understand why. Amen. But we do love you. I love to preach. And so I almost called in sick this morning, but I didn't want to give Brother Jason I didn't want to cause him to go into panic, but anyway. But I do appreciate all the things that he does for our church family as well. But the Lord has really spoke to our hearts about revival and about how we need to start seeking after revival. And in fact, we're praying about having revival services and how that is to play out maybe in the latter part of April. And so you just remember those things. But I do appreciate you being here. Appreciate about the cupping of the water, you know. Man, ain't nothing no better than you're out there hunting and you find a good creek and you cup your hand and get you a drink of water. You just always got to make sure you're upstream of the herd. Amen. Amen. But it's good. Amen. It is good. Y'all heard about the blonde who went to the library? She went to the library and she walked up to the librarian and she said, "Give me a hamburger, a french fry, and a Coke." The librarian looked at her and said, "Ma'am, you're at the library." She said, "Oh, give me a hamburger, a french fry, and a Coke." Amen. 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 So I'm glad you laughed hard because I didn't want to have to tell the Bernie and the Trump joke, all right? So. Amen. I just get you smiling a little bit. I can preach to you a little bit maybe this morning and maybe help you some. And I pray, God, that the Lord will speak into your hearts today. Turn with us to the book of Daniel, to the book of Daniel in chapter 9, the book of Daniel in chapter 9. We want to discover one of the greatest prayers ever prayed in the entire Bible, and it's prayed by the prophet Daniel. And when you think about Daniel, you often think about him being in the lion's den. You think about Daniel, the first thing you think about is the lion's den. And he got in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6 because he prayed. His praying got him put in the lion's den. Of course, God took care of him. Now in chapter 9, I'm just going to read the first two verses, and then we're going to discover the next 19 together. Amen. So you hold on this morning, and you pray that God give us strength that we might be able to preach to you today. Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 1. "In the first year of Daenerys, the son of Hazarus, the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years wherefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem." Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day. Now, Father, we pray you might help us to preach your word in a mighty way this morning. God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross. And God, that all that they would see is you, Lord, this morning. They wouldn't see a preacher up here with a head cold, Lord, but they would see you, God, that they would see your power and your glory. And Father, I do thank you for the beautiful songs that was sung this morning and blessed our hearts. Now, Lord, we pray that we'd see souls saved and hearts returned to you. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. When you think about Daniel, and Daniel, the first verse 3 down to verse 19, we see the prayer that Daniel prayed there. And when you think about a praying prophet, you think about Daniel. And if you're going to be a praying prophet, a praying person, the first thing you got to have is a burden. You got to have a burden if you're going to pray. The prayer is the desperate overflow of the heart. Listen, we must have a burden. We also got to have a book. We also got to have a book if you're going to pray. Every praying person, I believe in all my heart, is a Bible reader. They love the Word of God, and it causes them to go to Him in prayer. And Daniel here in verse 2 talked about Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah, how Jeremiah said over there in chapter 25, verse 10 and 11, that there was a deep burden in the heart of Jeremiah that was placed in the heart of Daniel because of the desolation of the city, because of the captivity of the city. 70 years of Babylonian captivity, everything was in ruins, and Daniel was broken over this city. Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Wake up, Sublima. We need to understand we must be broken over America. We need to be broken over the America that we live in. America is in a desolate state right now. And we need an old-fashioned, God-sent revival to make a difference. We got to understand, 50 years ago, if you asked Americans 50 years ago, how many of you believe in God? 9 out of 10 says, I believe in God. Today, you asked them, 7 out of 10 say, I believe in God. If you say out of that 7 out of 10, how many of you are associated with a church? 48% of the 70% are say that they're a member of or are associated with some church. Only 48% of that 70%. And then if you ask them, how many of you are active? How many of you are active? I mean, go to church maybe one time out of 4 to 6 weeks, and it's only 20% of that 48%, which is of that 70%. I'm here to tell you, folks, America's in a desolation time. Churches are dying and declining. Why? Because we live in a time where the culture, everything in the culture is against the church. It is. It's against the things of God when you think about all the things that's going on in the world today. You think about the entertainment business. When's the last time you heard anything good come from that? Listen to me. You understand that the culture is taught in the schools and in the colleges against God, to be against God. They teach materialism, they teach socialism and humanism and atheism, and they teach in these things to our college students. And listen, we even see in entertainment in Hollywood how they're all against the things of God and everything about God. Even in country music, they're against God and the things of God. And when country music goes away, whoa, my goodness, amen, it's really getting bad. But it's the truth. We must understand these things. That's why we need a good old-fashioned God-sent revival. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit now. The church needs to be filled up now. Amen. They tell us today that 2 out of every 3 teenagers. That y'all guys? Y'all teenagers? All right. Yes. Y'all teenagers without much sleep. Amen. They say in 10 years, teenagers between the age of 14 and 16, in 10 years, 2 out of 3 will not be in church. In 10 years, between the age of 24 to 26, will not be in church. Why? Because the culture comes and snatches them away. Listen, we must understand something. I'm thankful for our teenagers. Y'all bless my heart every Sunday morning sitting on that front row. You don't do much for me on Sunday night, but you do bless me on Sunday morning. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. These folks here, this is what you call Generation Z. Everybody under 19. Z for Zorro. And they're Generation Z. And they want something that's real. They're not part of that millennial bunch. That's a whole different group. We don't even want to get on that bunch. Amen. But they want something real. They can figure out what his hypocrisy in just a second. Listen, they're looking for something real. And listen, you got to be careful also, because this Generation Z always has a screen in front of them. Show me your screens. Oh, hey, get them out. Amen. Yeah, some of you. Ain't got one right now. You must be grounded a little bit. But anyway. But they always got a screen in it. I call them screenagers. Yeah, they're always in front of a screen. I mean, they got their phone, and it's TV, or if it's computer or whatever, they're all about screen. But you got to be careful, because on that screen comes nasty stuff, garbage, and it'll snatch your heart away from the things of God. Anytime y'all want to join in and say, that's good preaching, preacher, go ahead. Trying to help you. Daniel did. His heart was broken over the city. Listen, we should be broken over what's going on in America. I mean, I don't have time to explain all the things that's happening in America, but we must understand some things that's going on in America and understand that it's against the things of God. And here Daniel said, first of all, three things he tells us in this text. He says, I set my face unto the Lord God. Listen what he says here. And he says, I seek my prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. And O Lord, great and dreadful of God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him. First of all, Daniel said, I know one thing. The God that I'm praying to is a faithful God. He's a covenant-keeping God. He shows us mercy. Amen. Any of you ever been shown mercy by God? Yeah. He says here, he shows us mercy. He gives us compassion. Look what he says here in verse 7. It says, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Thou art righteous, O Lord. He's not only a merciful God, but he's a righteous God. Notice this here. He says in verse 15, he says, Now, O Lord, our God, that has brought us, thy people, forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renowned. Listen, he said, Lord, I remember that you brought us out of the land of Egypt. In other words, he says he's a God of salvation. How many of you have been saved today? Amen. Woo! Then you ought to shout a little bit. If you've been saved by the glory of God, have you been born again? It's the greatest question ever asked. Have you been born again? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Listen to me, folks. It's important that we know that we know that we know that we've been saved. I said it's important. Yes. If you die today, you're going to heaven. Yes. Billy Graham helped us on this. And he is alive. Billy Graham said, when I die, they're going to say, Billy Graham's dead. He said, don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? He's not dead. He said, I'll be more alive than ever. He said, I'll be with the Lord forever and forever. Amen. You hear it? Amen. I'll be there forever and forever. I'm here to tell you, folks, that die in the Lord. Miss Margie buried her brother this week, Mr. Riley. And I'm here to tell you, he's more alive today than he's ever been, because he's with the Lord forever and forever and forever. Listen, we must understand these things. He said, well, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm a church member. That's not enough. I mean, you ought to be a member of Sublime, because it's the greatest church. They got the greatest preacher's wife. Amen. Scored points. I lost a bunch last week. If you was here last week, you know what I mean. You ought to be a church member, but I'm here to tell you, that won't get you to glory. I mean, they ain't even going to check your credentials when you get up there. You say, I'm a good old boy. I mean, I treat my wife good. You know, I'm a good person. I work hard. Oh, yeah, that's good stuff, but that's not enough. A lot of people want to go to heaven a lot of different ways. Well, my mom and dad was good Christians. I'm telling you what, you can't go hanging on mom and dad's coattail. Amen? You got to know the Lord Jesus Christ yourself, personally. Can you take me to a time and take me to a place where you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and to be your Savior? Can you tell me a time when you were saved? When you were saved. When you had old things pass away and all things become new. One of my favorite radio programs that I like to listen to occasionally is called The Rick and Bubba Show. Anybody ever heard of Rick and Bubba? Woo! If you ain't, Google them. Amen. You'll like it. You'll start listening to it. You'll get addicted to it just like Alabama football. Go ahead and listen. Amen. Rick Burgess gives his testimony. Rick's been through a lot in his life. And Rick, he gives a testimony. He says him and his wife, Sherry, was going to get married. And of course, they went to the pastor's office. And the pastor said to talk to him about counseling and about being married. And Rick said, the pastor looked at him and said, are you saved? Are you born again? I don't want to marry you through people being not born again. Sherry says, yes, I'm saved. And gave her salvation experience. And he looked at Rick and said, Rick, are you saved? He said, yeah. He said, on what basis are you saved? This is Rick's testimony. What basis are you saved? He said, what do you mean? He said, well, Rick, I listened to you. This is a long time ago before they got righteous. He said, listen. He said, I listened to you on the radio and you don't sound saved. And I look at your life and you ain't got no fruit. And you ain't never in church. On what basis are you saved? He said he left out there mad as a dog. All he's going to do is get married. He said that pastor had the gumption to tell him, you got to have a personal relationship with Jesus. He said he went home, got saved. Changed his life. On what basis are you basing your salvation on today? What basis are you basing your salvation on today? Listen, if you're basing it on membership or being a good old boy or just because God's a good old God and God's not going to let me go to hell when I die, I'm telling you, you ain't going to get there. Listen, it ought to be based on the fact that sometime in your life you met the risen Savior.
Yeah.
Glory. And you were saved. So what basis are you saved today? Listen, Daniel said God's faithfulness will save you. I love Easter time. We're just a few weeks away. I mean, this is the Super Bowl of Christianity. But you know, the week leading up to it, Holy Week, they call it. And we see about the cross on that fateful Friday. And on that fateful Friday, on Golgotha's hill, there's three crosses there. And there's one on the right, one on the left. And one is a rebellious cross, and one is a redeemed cross. And in the middle is their redemption, grace. Listen, I asked you the question of those two crosses. Which one do you hang on? We know you're not able to hang on the middle one because that's where our Lord hung. But listen, there's some that's rebellious and hang on this cross. And there's some that's been redeemed and hang on this cross. My question to you is, which cross do you hang on today? We all need grace. But not only that, not only did he talk about God's faithfulness, but he also talked about his sinfulness. Look what in verse 5 he says, we have sinned. This is Daniel talking to the Lord. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled by departing from thy precepts or from thy law or from thy word and from thy judgment. We have departed from it. Listen to me, folks. We live in a day. We need to realize that we're all sinners. We are all sinners. Look what he says here in verse number 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servant the prophets. Daniel said, we've stopped listening to your word. Are you still listening to God's word when the preacher preaches? Verse 8 says, O Lord, belongeth the confusion to the face, to the kings, to the princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. He says there in verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of our Lord our God to walk in his laws. In other words, he says, we've simply ignored the truth. We've ignored the truth and we've stopped blushing. America don't blush anymore. It's amazing what goes on and nobody seems to blush. Verse 11 says, we're not obeying thy voice. We're not hearkening unto your voice. We're not listening. And listen to what he says here. He says, we love things more than we love God. As is written in the law of Moses, all the evils come upon us, and we've not made our prayer before the Lord our God. We turn from iniquities and understand the truth. Listen, we love sin more than we love God. It's what Daniel's saying here. We got what you got to do. You got to return, repent, repent. If you've ever been closer to God than you are today, then you need to repent and return to the Lord. If you've ever had a close relationship with God and for some reason you're moved away, listen, God ain't moved, just you that's moved, and so you got to move back up. How do you do that? You repent. The message of the Bible is repent. Through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, it's always repent. Jonah, you remember Jonah? You remember Jonah and the whale? Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh to preach, but after God convinced him to go, he went there and he preached for 40 days. And he preached throughout the city. Repent! 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 The kingdom of heaven is at hand! Repent! And the Bible says something miraculous happened. From the king all the way down to the animals, they repented. What? Yes, read the story. They even sanctified their animals in the city. They sanctify them with sackcloth and ashes, the Bible said, in the city. Listen, can I tell you something? And I may have to rethink my thinking on this, but when cats get righteous, revival has taken place. Amen. I mean, I don't know all dogs go to heaven, but I never thought the cats got there. Amen. But when cats get righteous, and the Bible says that even the king, and all the way down to the animals, they sanctified the animals in sackcloth and ashes. The animals repented. Amen. Amen. My neighbor's got some cats that need to repent. Amen. That'd be my daughter, by the way. They're always coming over, getting in my garage and getting in my garbage. Amen. I'm expecting no peanut to repent this afternoon. Yeah. Repent. I'm telling you, if we have animals around here start repenting, woo, glory. Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, repent. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, repent. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, repent and believe God. Listen, you need to repent. What is that? Metanoia. That's what the Greek word is. It's called metanoia. What is it? It means to change your mind. Change your mind. Old boy came down one day to get saved, and he came and he said, preacher, I've come to change my mind. What do you mean? Change my mind about God. That's what it means. You change your mind about God. You get saved. Amen. You repent. What are you holding on to today? If you're holding sin in your heart, come and repent. If you've been gossiping, come repent. Hello. If you got a grudge against somebody, come repent. If you got greed in your heart, come repent. If you got whole malice in your heart, come repent. If you're lusting, come repent. Daniel says, repent. Why? Because God is faithful. He keeps his covenant. Amen. And we recall our sinfulness, so therefore we repent. But lastly, and I close with this, and boy, I pray God touch your heart. Verse 17, he says, now therefore, O Lord God, hear the prayer of thy servant, thy supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Listen to me, folks. We got to rebuild the altars of God in the church houses. Somebody said that new church you're building will have an altar in it. Oh, yes. We'll have a big one. Amen. Praise God. We need to see folks get saved. Elijah, wherefore we prayed down the fire from God on Mount Carmel, the Bible says he rebuilt the altar of God. We need to rebuild the altar of God. Amen. The Lord says here in verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken. Do not defer for thy own sake. O my God, for thy city, thy people are called by thy name. O my. Daniel said, please, Lord, don't delay, don't delay, don't delay. Look what he said in verse 18. O Lord, O God, incline thy ear and hear, open thy eyes and behold thy desolations, the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy's sake. O Lord, hear and cause thy face to shine upon us. A lot of times people want to seek God's hand.
They always want to seek his hand. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, help me with this. God, help me with that. But the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by name shall humble themselves and pray and seek what? My face. And then and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear in heaven and I will forgive their land and heal their sin. Forgive their sin and heal their land. Listen to me. God said, I'll hear your cry when you seek my face. When's the last time you got on your face seeking the face of God? Why do you want to seek the face of God? Because Revelation says God's eyes are penetrating like fire. Listen to me. He will discern your soul. You can't hide from God. His eyes penetrate like fire. What are you saying? The face of God penetrates like fire. Not only that, his eyes is like love. He says, whoever comes unto me, I will in no wise cast away. God loves us today. And he shows us that love. Listen to me, folks. If you read on down, I won't for time's sake, but listen to me. Verse 20, 21. He said, while he was speaking and praying and confessing sin, the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication for the Lord my God, holy mountain of my God, I was speaking in prayer, and even the man Gabriel, whom I've seen in the vision beginning, have caused the fly swiftly touch me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me. Listen, when you go to the Lord, God will speak to you. And if you're going to have revelation, you will not have revelation. And then the Gabriel showed Daniel all the things that was going to take place in Revelations after this. You'll never have revelation until you have intercession. If you want to know where to go to school, pray about it. If you want to know who to marry, pray about it. Got to give you revelation after you have intercession. Listen, everything that we do here at this church, we need to pray about it. We're praying about revival. We're praying about who we need to have speak at revival. We're praying about who we need to have sing at revival. Everything we do, listen, if it ain't worth praying about, it ain't worth doing. So I asked you this morning, is God speaking to your heart? Maybe here today and you're lost. God will save you, no matter if you're 7 or 94. I was pastoring my first church. This little 7-year-old boy came to me. His mom and dad, his dad's the sheriff of Cherokee County, Jeff Shaver, and Harry, their little boy, came they came to our church and part of our church family. And Harry came wanting to be saved. And Jenny's mom said, I don't know if Harry knows enough to be saved, but preacher, I want you to talk to him because he's assured me that he needs to be saved. He's just 7 years old. I said, okay, let me talk to you, Harry. I said, Harry, why do you want to be saved? Harry says these words, I don't want to go to hell. I looked at Jeff and Jenny and I said, that's enough. That's enough. And he got gloriously saved. We baptized him. Amen. Larry Fuller in his 40s. Larry was a great man, became a great man of God. He was one of our band drivers after he got saved. Larry just bringing his kid to church and just coming to church with him, and he come to Sunday school, boy. I said, if Larry keeps coming to Sunday school, that old boy is going to get saved. Larry was in his 40s. Larry come, he said about five rows back every Sunday morning. I gave the invitation that one Sunday morning. Larry left that pew, and I don't think he hit the ground until he hit the altar. And I've never seen anybody do it before. I've never seen anybody do it since. But literally, Larry left that pew, and how he got there, I don't know, but he slid in, just like Pete Rhodes used to slide in the second. He slid into the altar just like that. I thought he died or something going away up there. Never seen anybody slide like that. And like just, I wanted to holler, safe. Larry said, I just want to know Jesus. We used to go over to a little place to preach called Rose Manor. You know, our church over there in Geraldine. We had four different guys, and we'd go over there every Sunday. I'd take a Sunday, everybody else would take a Sunday. And one Sunday, Ray Haggard, you know Ray, he's preached here. Ray preached there one Sunday morning. After he got through, 94-year-old man came up. His name was Mr. Porter. Mr. Porter came to him. He said, Ray, I've been a Methodist all my life, but now I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved. And he got saved. He came to the church. Remember him getting baptized, Brother Phil? I don't know if he was in on it or not, but it took about six of us to get him into the baptistry and get him baptized. Listen, about 6 months later, he went to glory. He liked to wait it too late, but he didn't. Amen. It ain't never too late to get saved. It ain't never too early to get saved if God's dealing with your heart. I'm trying to say to you, if you need a Savior today, He's here waiting on you. If you need to come and ask God to forgive you your sin and you have been living the life like you don't know God, then you ought to come and say, God, redeem me, forgive me, renew me, restore me. Whatever God is speaking into your heart, God will do it this morning. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we come to the song of invitation. Listen to me. God will save you. God will give you revelation after you had intercession with Him. After you spent some time in prayer, if you got a need, God will help you with it. Maybe here and you've been a church member all your life, a long time, but you've never been a Christian. Or to come be saved. Listen, it's important. Daniel said he saw a city in desolation, and he cried unto the Lord, God help us. I don't think we can argue with the preacher today about the state of America and how we need to see a revival. A lot of fears right now. A lot of fears out there. We don't have to be afraid, folks. Don't give in to the media. But trust in the Lord. But if you're here today and you've been saved and you need a revival, listen, I've been where you're at. There's a time in my life when I was saved and not living my life for Jesus. I'm so thankful God brought a revival in my heart. He can do that with you today. Whatever the need is, would you come this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord. touching our hearts and changing our lives. We thank you for salvation and to save a little 7-year-old boy by the name of Harry. Let us save a wonderful man who was a dear friend to me, and he's in heaven with you now, Lord. Mr. Larry Fuller. Oh, Father. Thank you, Lord, for that salvation of Larry, of Mr. Porter. Who waited till he's 94 years old to be saved. Father, if there's one under our voice this morning that don't know you as Savior, I pray they'll come right now. Send revival, Lord. Let it start with my heart. Father, we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we stand.